my friends put them to music. But I thought, we have such a short time. We're just going to warm up. Let me get the capo. Okay.
And when she says sing for you, she means we're going to practice.
We're going to practice. But this is Sandra Henderson, by the way, worship leader extraordinaire. Who, okay. We do it on two. Ooh, I got a two.
You doing this?
Mm-hmm. This was written by Chandra Dickey and Crystal Bratton. Good enough. It's called When God and I Dance.
Every morning I take just a minute to pray that my day is gonna have God in it. I don't worry about any problem or circumstance, since it's all taken care of when God and I dance. Seems at times life can be pretty tough, but my God can certainly take care of stuff. And he's always given me one more chance. It happens every time when you got it out.
You ever stare, and if I ask, he
know, we're missing Ashley, her daughter. She sang with us in Fresno, and the three-part harmony was really, really pretty on that. So again, that was that's a song called When God and I Dance. It was written by Crystal Bratton and Chandra Dickey, and my friend Dwight Lyles put that to music. Dwight is a pastor in Nashville in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, but he's also a professional songwriter who's written songs for, oh my goodness, everybody. He's won like 2 Dove Awards and has had 10 hits on Christian radio. So I can't name any of them right now, but he's had a lot. Hi, good morning. My name is Claire Frederick. Thank you for coming to this early morning class. I am going to be talking today about my project that is really our project. There's more people involved in it than just myself. But I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I grew up in the music business. My dad and my uncle both were in the music business, so I kind of had that going on in my childhood. But I also grew up in the church, and Churches of Christ, love the church, have always loved the church. But and I was a professional singer-songwriter also in Nashville for about 12 years before I got a call to ministry. But the one thing I think it has taken me almost 30 years to learn and how to understand how to integrate these two halves of myself, this musical life over here as a singer-songwriter, and then my life in the kingdom, you know, in the church. It's a little bit of what N.T. Wright was talking about last night. I think when we were growing up, there was almost this kind of schizophrenic, sacred-secular split. Where what we did during the week was one sphere of our life. We had it kind of over here. And what we did on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights was kind of separate, and it was this other sphere. And the two never really intersected or overlapped. And that was particularly true for me in music as a woman in Churches of Christ, a cappella Churches of Christ. So I'm so excited that God is finally bringing all of this together in my life. And I want to express three different things today. Let me get onto my teaching PowerPoint. Got two of them. Okay. So, kind of in line with what, hey, good morning, with what N.T. Wright was talking about last night, the kingdom of heaven is so much bigger than what we do on Sunday mornings and when we gather as a church. Now, that's part of it. That's definitely part of it. The church is part of the kingdom, but it's not all of it. The kingdom of God wants to infiltrate every area of our lives, from the greatest to the least. You know, God wants to be king of our parenting. He wants to be king of our checkbooks, of our coaching, our teaching, whatever we do, if we're a doctor or a lawyer. The kingdom can infiltrate your vocation. I believe every vocation can be a kingdom vocation, in as much as we are called to be God's agents of healing and reconciliation in this broken world. So I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about my project. It's called Songs of New Creation from the Tennessee Prison for Women. And this is really based in a theology of new creation, which again, if you read N.T. Wright and read his stuff, this is really what we're doing. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. And we are leaning into and living into the new creation, which is already broken through in Jesus Christ. So the theology of this project is based in who God is, first of all. God is a God who brings light out of darkness, right? Genesis 1:1. He brings light out of darkness. He brings beauty from the ashes of broken people's lives, people who have been absolutely exiled, estranged. God wants to bring beauty from those ashes. He brings life out of death. I mean, nowhere is that more apparent than in the raising of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And also wants to make of us a new creation. And so we, in turn, are called to be, we are created to create as God's image bearers, right? N.T. Wright was talking about this last night. We bear God's image in the world. Part of that image is that we reflect His beauty and His glory back into the creation. We can do that with our art. We can do that with our music. We can do that with conversations that we have with people in the grocery store. You know what I mean? So I want y'all to really expand your idea of kingdom this morning and let it try to infiltrate every corner and every vocation in your life. We are blessed to be a blessing. In the same way Abraham was called to bless the nations, we are called to still continue that in our world today. We are the called out people who are in the world for the sake of the world. We're blessed to be a blessing. And we are inwardly being renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians tells us. Excuse me. And then we are called to be participants in the healing and reconciling mission of God, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are all ministers of reconciliation. We can't outsource our ministry in this generation to the professional ministers and the missionaries, right? We are all ministers. We are a priesthood of all believers. We are a royal priesthood, as Dr. Wright shared last night. And I have a professor named Earl Lavender, and he likes to put it this way, and he just breaks it down so simple, and it's beautiful. He says, with every word you say and with every action you do, you are either contributing to the healing and the renewal of God's people and God's creation, or you are contributing to its further brokenness. It's really that simple and really that lovely when you think about it. It's not that hard. With every word we speak, we can either speak life into people and healing and renewal and redemption, or we can speak brokenness over them and hurt and further estrangement of God's people. So in this mode of thinking, like I said, every activity can be a kingdom activity. I used to, when I was a stay-at-home mom, had the opportunity of really taking my time in Kroger when I was doing my grocery shopping. And I would consider this kingdom opportunity to like converse with the old man that was stocking the produce, who loved to have a conversation. He was lonely, right? I thought, I'm going to slow down this morning long enough to kind of just speak with this guy and spend some time with him in a compassionate human interaction. That's kingdom activity. We don't have to bracket that off. We don't need a sacred secular split. So, I thought of this too. My friend has a garden, you know, and she loves to share her produce with people who have a need. That's her hobby. But her hobby has become a kingdom hobby because she shares her vegetables with families who have a need for fresh produce. And then for me, it became sharing my love of songwriting with people like these women in prison who are hungry for a fresh way to connect with God. I connect with God through creativity and through music, and if that's true for me, then I thought it might be true for others. So here's the thesis of our program at the prison. Based in a theology of new creation and the firm conviction that Christ is indeed making all things new, we encourage incarcerated women to embrace their God-given creativity as a means of healing, identity recovery, and spiritual transformation. And again, that identity recovery means getting back to who they are, image of God, God bearers. They bear the image of God in the world or in their prison. Let's see here. We tell each woman, that your voice matters, that you have something to say, and we encourage her to tell her story in a redemptive way, looking for God in her story and meeting him there. Even if it's crying out to God, even if it's lamenting, even if it's writing a song about the times when she was in rebellion and running from God. We have songs that run the gamut, and I'm going to jump ahead. I think that we are all in a process from creation to new creation, but we go through these stages. We go through stages of rebellion, just like in the garden, right? It's the classic story. We want to be our own gods. We run from God. Where are you? Where are you? God says to Adam. We run. I've run from God in my life. Then we remember during my time of rebellion, I had this little Holy Spirit always kind of tapping me on the shoulder saying, this isn't who you are. Remember? I created you for more than this. And then we experience remorse and brokenness because our hearts are broken that we've gone our own way. And then we repent. And after repentance, we begin to live into our own renewal through Jesus. Jesus wants to make us new. And reconciliation then involves being reconciled to God, to each other, to ourselves, to all the people we've hurt
We have to go make things right. And then we experience redemption. And so in this songwriting class, these women have written songs about any, they're at any point on that cycle. We're constantly cycling in and out of that. I don't think that we just do this straight line either. I think it's more like this, and we keep, and maybe we get a little better at trusting as we go, but we're always cycling in and out of these phases. So, okay, let me go back a bit. So this program started as part of the Lipscomb Life Program. This is a program that Lipscomb University does where they take college-level classes to women in prison. And so they've done that since 2007, and they've graduated, I think, two classes now of women with their associate's degrees. But the need and the demand for adult education was so strong that in addition to offering the college-level classes, we started offering workshops like art and music. And my friends Sawyer and Allie Wallace just did a Shakespearean workshop with the women who put on a Shakespeare play in like 10 weeks or less. It was amazing. So, okay, flip ahead. But I've kind of morphed now, this workshop's morphed into its own entity called Songs of New Creation, and we do it twice a year at the Tennessee Prison for Women. We give students tools for finding their voice and telling their stories. The women are taught the basics of lyric composition and melody creation. They are given weekly songwriting tasks. They're required to journal or free write on a daily basis, which is a really powerful recovery tool. And we just encourage them to show up at the page. It's not your job to judge the work, it's your job to do the work. So show up at the page every day. And then we also have a ton of fun in the process. We laugh, we get silly. I mean, this one girl came up with a rap called Trigger Happy, and I was like, I don't know if we can sing that at the show at the end of the 10 weeks. She's like, no, it's not about guns. It's about tattooing. I'm going to open a tattoo business when I get out. I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, this is going to be my advertising song. It's going to be my jingle. I was like, yeah, okay. And she's out now, and guess what she's doing? She's got a mobile tattooing business. She'll come to your living room and tattoo you. This is Sweetie, right? My friend Sweetie. I wish I had a picture of her. She's amazing. But yeah, she's working three different jobs. You know, she got out in July. She's got her business and she's got her song to advertise it. So anyway, we had a lot of strong lyric writers, like I said, but we had very few melody writers, and the women did not have any access to instruments. So this was when it's like God woke me up one morning and said, you got to bring your friends out there, your songwriting friends. You need to bring such and such out there, and this person and this person, and this list of people just came in my head of who would enjoy this project. And so I began bringing in outside co-writers to put the women's lyrics to music. And I like to call this priests, cowboys, and divas. Even these people can do kingdom work. And this is where it got really interesting, because even my spiritual but not religious friend, Kelly, over here on the corner there, wanted to be involved in this project. She was drawn to the cause, right? Everybody wants to be helpful. Everybody has that deep inside them. I think it's like N.T. Wright said in one of his books, God has implanted something deep within us, and I believe it's that image of God in creation that we mentioned earlier. And because that image of God is imprinted on us, when we get around kingdom activity, like what we've been doing at the prison, our hearts begin to vibrate to the frequency of God in new creation. It's like we start vibrating to the tune of God in new creation. People are drawn to this. So she started coming out there with us, drawn to that redemptive energy and to that newness that she's seeing happening. And even though Kelly is not a Christian yet, she's gets inside the prison and there's inmates who are incredibly strong in their faith. Mm-hmm. They start influencing her for Christ. Mm-hmm. So this ministry starts flowing both ways, always, and that's when you know the Spirit is part of it. See, I am doing a new thing, Isaiah says, Isaiah 43:19. I'm making all things new, Jesus says in Revelation 21:5. And another one of our mantras is, behold, he's making all things new, even you, even me, and even you. And that's hopeful. That gives these women hope that God is not done with them. And another thing I've learned in doing this type of missional work is that we are by no means taking God to these women. That would be very arrogant for us to think that, because the truth is that God was there and has been doing work all along inside that prison long before we showed up. And so all we are doing is just joining God there, joining him in the work he's already doing there and partnering with him to continue to effect redemption. And we, like I said, are learning just as much or more from the female inmates as they are learning from us. And that, a big piece of that is trust. Because when you've had everything taken away from you and all you have is God, you learn how to become completely dependent on God. And that's something we have a real problem with, because we're so independent, self-sufficient. We have all these distractions. And for them, all of that's been taken away. And there's been some books and papers written about how some of the experience in prison, if you really seek God there, it's almost like a monastic experience. And being in your cell, you can almost see that as a monk's cell. And so there's some deep spiritual work that's taking place for these women that we don't have the opportunity to experience, because we're never alone. And we're always got stuff going on, places to be and people to see. Okay, let's do some more music, because that's the fun part. You want to sing another one, Sandra? Okay, we're going to sing, and you guys can sing along. Your timing is perfect, because we're getting ready to sing this song called Ancient of Days. All right. This song was written by a girlfriend of mine. I mean, she's a friend now, a really good friend, and her name is Jennifer Gray. She came to know the Lord while in prison, and she talks about how she has been in bondage to so many things throughout her life. She was in bondage to an abusive father early on who sexually abused her, physically, mentally abused her. She went out of that household into an abusive marriage, and so she felt in bondage to her husband. Then she left that marriage, but before that, got deeply addicted to drugs just to numb the pain and to kind of deal with all the hurt that she's experienced. So she's in bondage now to drugs. She said, I've been in bondage to so many things, but I know the Lord now. And even though, ironically, I'm sitting here in jail, I'm the freest I've ever been. So her story is pretty amazing. And when she came in and brought this lyric to me, I got chill bumps, because I just thought, this is so special. And it was complete from start to finish. My friend Dwight put it to music, and last October, what's the guy's name that arranged it?
Randy Gill.
Randy Gill and DJ Bulls did an a cappella arrangement of this and presented it at the Zoe Conference, and this song is now being sung in a lot of different churches of Christ around the country. Somebody came up to me from Preston Road and said, we've been singing that song at Preston Road in Texas. I didn't know that. That's great. So we're going to do that song for you now.
Ancient of Days.
from eternity past. How full made up the first and the last, Lion of Judah, which drew them away, life everlasting. Lord, you are the light of guidance and peace. You are the wisdom that never will cease. I'll live for you always, O Ancient of Days, from eternity.
Singing songs for the time we have left. Christina Sanchez is another one. Oh, if you could stay, I got one more.
Yes.
One more to run. This is Christina Sanchez's song, and she is Hispanic. She's a grandmother, and she's serving a life sentence. But she wrote this song, the lyrics for the chorus, for the verses of this song, while we were sitting in class. She just started scribbling furiously, and she said, "Can you put this to music?" You know, and I thought, "I don't speak Spanish. I don't even know how to pronounce these words." But I got my friend Jackie Gonzalez, who is a Spanish teacher at Donaldson Christian Academy, to help me with the transliteration of the lyrics. And I think this song is being sung at a church in Texas. There was a person who had a Hispanic ministry, and he heard the song at Rochester, and he said, "Please send me that. I want to use it with our Hispanic congregation so they can worship." But this is called "This Is the Day," and this is interactive too, so if you want to sing along, feel free.
Este es el día que Dios me dio vida. Este es el día que Dios me dio amor. Este es el día de mi alegría. Este es el día que Dios me dio paz.
This is where you come in, okay? Repeat after me.
This is the day. This is the
John York play the maracas in Rochester on that song. I have a picture. So good. He's one of my professors. Okay. Well, like I said, the women go through a lot in prison, and just everyday life happens, you know. Another thing that was experienced was Jennifer went through chemotherapy treatments in prison while she was battling breast cancer. So this woman really is a survivor. She has survived so much. And so she wanted to write a song about her experiences of taking chemo in the prison. When she got to the end of the round of treatments, apparently there's a practice, and I don't know if this happens where you live, but you ring a bell when you get to the end of your treatments. Do you do that at the hospital, Casey?
No.
Never heard of that?
It sounds like a great
In Tennessee,
idea,
this is something they do. Yeah. They ring a bell when they get to the end of their treatments. And she said, I'm just so weak, I don't think I'm going to be able to walk over to where that is and do it. And the nurse said, you just take my arm, darling, and I'll walk you over together, and we'll ring that bell together, sister. So she wanted to write a song called Ring That Bell, because this became about her victory, you know, over cancer through God. You know, God was right there with her, walking through her. So this is called Ring That Bell. Okay, that's right. When I walked in the room, the doctor said, girl, are you ready to fight? This is not just a battle, it's the war for your life. You're a woman at war, we've got to make you stronger. Cancer knocked you down, but not for the count. You are not defeated. Together we can beat it. When you take a final round, chemo has killed every cell. Sister, take my hand. Together we'll ring that bell. Ring the bell of hope. Show you fighting stand. That's when you must understand. You're not in this alone, girl. Somebody's holding your hand. We are women at war. We've got to make us stronger. Cancer knocked us down, but not for the final count. We are not defeated. Sad one. And a redemptive one. Okay. This is Rose Stone is another young woman in prison. She wrote this song as her dad was lying on his deathbed. And it was kind of her letter to him to say all the things that still needed to be said that had not been said. And it was a letter that my friend Jan Buckingham then put to music. They sent this to him down in Atlanta or wherever he was. Her sister got him the lyrics to him and read it to him, and he rallied. Mm-hmm. And he did not die.
Oh my.
And they now have a phone conversation. They've been estranged for years and years, and they now have communication happening. And so that was a sweet piece of reconciliation that happened through this class that I love it. And I love the song, too, because it's so country. And it sounds like something Merle would have done. But this is called Daddy Dear Daddy. Someday I'd like to do an album of these songs, and I'd like for like Alison Krauss to sing this one or something. I always thought I didn't care, but now that you're sick, I'm really scared. And as you lay in your hospital bed, I can't seem to get you out of my head. I always thought that we were miles apart, but there's a connection between our hearts. I hope you hold on, we've got so much to say. Can't you stay with me for one more? Second chance is all we need, and things are gonna change for us, you'll see. We're gonna make some new memories. You're in God's hands, and so I won't worry. But Daddy, dear Daddy, you'll forever be living right here in the heart, and I want you to know before God sets you free that you mean the world to me. Daddy, dear Daddy, please believe. Oh, you mean the world to me. Daddy, dear Daddy, please believe. This is what's so interesting is a lot of these women are out of prison now. The ones that were part of the class last year have gotten out in the last 6 months. And the woman that wrote this song, this is another example of a lyric that was just handed to me, and I read it out loud in front of the class and just chill bumps all over because it was such a beautiful lyric. And her name is Letitia Asbell. She got out about a month ago, and I'm so glad she got out when she did, because she got to be with her mother during the last month of her mother's life. And her mother passed away actually last Thursday. So Letitia is just a precious woman, and she's going to make a great second start. She's got a strong, strong faith. But she wrote this song again about feeling free, even though she's behind bars. This song is called Free. I don't need a leading role, I just want to do my best. Smile upon me, Jesus, I just want to pass the test. I don't shine very bright, I don't need to be a star. I have peace and contentment because of who you are. I have love, hope and peace this world can't understand. I have love, hope and peace because He holds my hand. I have what the world cannot offer. He offers
no, I won't live in defeat. I have been forgiven in this mercy seat. And my storms, though they rage, and before me many hills, I remember who my King is, and whisper, peace be still. I have love, hope, and peace. This world can't understand. I have love, hope, and peace. Because He holds my hand. And I have what the world cannot offer. He offers what the world cannot see. And because He holds my hand, I am free. Oh, I am favored, I am blessed. I don't need to be a queen. It's not about me. It's about what I can bring. And I have love, hope, and peace. This world can't understand. I have love, hope, and peace. Because He holds my hand. I have what the world cannot offer. He offers what the world cannot see. And because He holds my hand, oh, because He holds my hand, oh, because He holds my hand, I am free. I am free.
Thank you for coming. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to stay a little longer unless somebody needs this classroom.
Do you live in the Nashville area?
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I grew up there. Yes,
could
ma'am.
Could we get a copy of...
I wish. Oh, I'm in the process of trying to make this a recording.
Ooh.
It might be my demon project.
Even,
it might be a very strange project, but...
Yeah. Not even if we didn't have the music, if we had...
Just the lyrics? If you want to give me your...
Whatever you had up there.
I could definitely email you the lyrics. And pray for this to become a project, because we just got a College of Contemporary Music at Lipscomb, and the man who's running it has expressed interest in maybe producing this as a CD that would then benefit the program further. So say a little prayer about that, because I would love for that to happen, and I would love to write about this and record it in the next 2 or 3 years here. So we'll see. Make them available, and the money then could also benefit the women's family and victim services too in the prison.
Yeah.
So, if anything happened with it,
right.
All right. Any other questions?
Do you take classes there at Lipscomb?
I do. I'll be graduating Saturday.
Oh, great!
And with my master's. Thank you. I'm so tired. But yes, exams were last week. Final exam, my last one was Sunday night. I turned it in. So, and I'm going to continue on in the Doctor of Ministry program.
Okay, great.
So,
also
at Lipscomb. We just got it maybe, 5 years ago? It's not been very long that they have it. But if you want to give me your email, I'd be happy to send you the lyrics.